Hi, everybody. I'm Joan Stewart, the Publicity Hound. Welcome to today's teleseminar on time-saving tips for smart business blogging. My guest today is Patsy Krakoff. Patsy is a longtime friend and business associate. She writes for contentforcoachesandconsultants.com, and her award-winning blog is at writingontheweb.com. She's the founder of the Blog Squad and is a former psychologist and a journalist who specializes in helping small business professionals with content marketing strategies. Her free ebook, Content Marketing for Online Profits, can be accessed at contentmarketingprofits.com. She lives in Lake Chapala, Mexico, with her husband Robert, who is president of Razor USA, and she has two Maine Coon cats named Huey and Dewey. She's also an avid tennis player, and she's writing a novel about life in Paris in the 80s. So I didn't know all this stuff about you, Patsy, until I just read your bio now. So welcome, and it's great to have you here with us.
Thanks a lot, Joan. I'm very happy to be here and so happy to be sharing the phone platform with you today, because you're a longtime friend and colleague, and I admire what you do. You're a very clever, smart lady.
Well, likewise. Let's jump into the content. We have a ton of content to share, and this is going to go about 70 minutes until about 10 minutes after the hour. So if you can't hang around, you can catch the rest of it on the replay, but we hope you stick with us. Okay, Patsy, first question. Let's start up by talking about why is blogging important? What makes blogging such a powerful marketing tool?
Well, let me just give a brief overview, because for me, a blog is the new website. You know, forget having the traditional website, the brochure online. Really, if you're starting out today, the thing to do is a blog. And all a blog is a special kind of website. And it allows interaction with your readers. So when a visitor comes on your site, they can leave a comment. So that makes it easy to get in touch with the people that are looking for your solutions. And I think there's a couple of things that make it so strong as a marketing tool, besides the fact that your visitors can actually interact and leave something to communicate with you. And that's the fact that blogs are very search engine friendly. So it's easy for you as the business professional to write on them and to maintain your blog or your blog site, but it's also, because it's so content-rich, really easy for the search engines to categorize what you're about and for your content to be pulled up in searches. When people are looking for solutions to their problems, you want to get found, and a blog is really a very, very good tool for doing that without having to spend a lot of money on search engine optimization and all that. So it's really simplified the website marketing problem for small independent professionals and even for large companies too. And that's really why everybody's getting into the blogging platform. And as a former psychologist and journalist, I can also tell you that one of the reasons they work has a lot to do with persuasion. Because they're so easy to write on and to communicate with your targeted audience, you can give away a lot of free information. And because you're doing that, there's a buying trigger or a persuasion trigger that gets activated. That's called reciprocity. So when you're giving something to a person, they feel obliged. They feel grateful, and they feel, oh, this person really knows what they're talking about, and they're giving me all this free information. And soon that relationship gets built up and there's a certain amount of trust generated. And when it comes time for you to ask them to buy something from you, you've already primed the pump through your words, through reciprocity. Does that make sense, Joan?
Absolutely. And blogging was one of the, I think, the earliest platforms for social media, correct?
Correct. It is part of the umbrella term social media. And today, it really links to all those social media sites like Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But the whole idea of having a platform on the web to communicate your core message And to connect with people that are really looking for what you've got is phenomenal. I mean, it's really revolutionized the way the Internet's working today. The second thing besides the reciprocity that makes it such a good marketing tool is social proof. You know, social proof happens when you're talking about your clients on your blog and you're explaining how you help somebody. Well, the readers see you in action and they think, oh, I've got a similar problem. Maybe she can help me. So those two things, I think, are the psychological triggers behind why blogging works so well as a marketing tool.
I'm still getting a lot of questions about very basic things dealing with blogging. What kind of a platform should I use? How do I find a name for my blog? So give us an overview of the blogging essentials that people need to know before they start to blog.
Absolutely. And I think the handouts will help them on that. There's four things that are essential. First of all, and this is something you might not want to do by yourself. You might want to do it with a partner or a trusted colleague or a business coach. The first thing is very important to clarify what business you're in. You really have to know what you're in the business of doing, selling, promoting. And this involves knowing very well who your targeted audience is. Who are the people that you want as your clients? And then the next thing in that whole category of knowing your business well is what's in it for these people? What are you going to provide for them that's going to change their lives, make it easier, save them time, energy, or money? So there's really several things under that category. What business are you in? Who are your customers? What's in it for them? What are the benefits of working with you or buying your products? And what problems do you solve? And that's key. I say this over and over again on my blog, writingontheweb.com, because it's so important that you are clear and that your readers identify really in the first few seconds they land on your blog what it is they're going to find. What problem do you solve? So that's really step one. And the second step, and it's tied in closely to this, as you can imagine, is to find a brand name. You need something easily rememberable. Probably the correct word would be memorable. And just like Joan, you found the publicity hound is really clever and it sticks with people. It's very sticky. The Blog Squad's another example of a name that sort of describes what it is I do. And so you need to find this brand. And again, that requires working with another individual, although sometimes you can just in a flash of brilliance come up with something really good. And you need to claim the domain names for it in several variations. That second step is not something you're going to do overnight. Sometimes it happens right away, but a lot of times it comes after, you know, you're already in business. But whatever, the process is very important. And once you've got that name, you can set up your blog. You can go ahead and set it up with another name anyway, and then find the exact brand name and rebrand it, but of course that's a little bit more difficult. Ideally, you would find that name right from the get-go. And then the third thing, of course, which more people worry about than anything else, is what kind of blog platform? Should I get WordPress? Should I go with TypePad? Is a free Blogger account okay to start with? These are the questions most people spend too much energy on. In my opinion, it doesn't really matter. Go with WordPress if you've got some tech skills and know what you're doing, or you have somebody to help you out on that. If you don't know what you're doing technologically speaking, get a TypePad account because they're going to host it for you and take care of all the tech issues. I don't recommend Blogger, even though it's free, although I've seen some professionals use Blogger very well, you know, but it does require some customization, and I just prefer TypePad or WordPress over those two. But it, you know, like I'm saying, is that it's not the platform that's going to make the difference. It's going to be really clarifying what business you're in and what problem you solve, then finding a good brand name for it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. You also gave me a little tip when we were talking a day or two ago about four other important things that people should remember with their blogs, and you had a little acronym that
yes,
was a coda CODA, C-O-D-A. Would you talk about that?
Yes, and this is a shorthand system because there's so much information, you can really get overwhelmed when it comes to blogging. But basically, it boils down to four letters, CODA, C-O-D-A. C is for content, O is for outreach, D is for design, and A is for action. Your blog must have some really important stuff in all four areas for it to work as a marketing tool. It's got to have good design, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's got to, you've got to have good outreach and good connections with other bloggers, the people who comment on your site, your contacts on social media, Twitter. All of that works to get your blog functional. And then your content has to be rich. It has to be relevant to your reader's needs. It has to be reasonably well-written. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then action. And this is what sets a blog apart. This is where the rubber meets the road. If you can get people to take some sort of action, leave a comment, subscribe to your blog, buy a product, download a free digital special report, you've got to connect with your readers and get them involved and get them engaged. So all four of those areas are important for your blogging. Most people spend too much attention on one area and they kind of neglect the others. If you're a techie, you might be into the design and the setup and put a lot of fancy widgets on your blog. Or if you're real social, you might want to spend all your time on Twitter and Facebook and you know, on leaving comments on other people's blogs, which is all great. But you need to spend effort and attention in all four areas in order for your blog to work. And if you're going to spend a lot of time blogging, and I recommend you spend sufficient time, not a lot, but you want it to work. You don't want to waste your time. You don't want to spend all this time writing on your blog and not get any results.
Okay, can we talk about design for a bit? And could you tick off some things that people need to keep in mind to have good design at their blog so that when people come to the blog, they look at it and it looks like the type of a place where they're at home, and you look like the type of a person who they can trust, and you have a good brand. So what are some things about design that are important?
Absolutely. And I am not a design person or a branding person at all, but I've really learned how important this is. And it's pretty easy and simple, and you do have to pay attention to it. First of all, be consistent. Get your blog to look like your other marketing materials. For example, if you already have a website, make sure you're using the same colors, that you have the same logo, that you have the same business photo on your blog as you do on your website. You know, you want to have this look like it's a part of your company. And so that creates trust. When people see the same colors, the same look and feel everywhere they go, and they're dealing with you, then they know, well, this person is trustworthy, it builds credibility, you look like you know what you're doing. And, of course, you have to have some sort of personality, and this is fairly easy to do because it's really easy to put an image on your blog. I recommend using a professional photo. I don't recommend using a photo that your husband shot in the backyard with a lot of sunshine and trees in the background because it usually doesn't make for a good photo. But on the other hand, if you're a dog breeder and your business is dogs, I would recommend using a photo that might have you with a dog. You know, that would make sense. So get a professional photo and put that on there. You want to have a professionally designed banner for your blog. I don't care if you do all of your blogging yourself, all of your design yourself, but unless you're a professional graphic designer, get someone else to do the masthead or the banner, in which you have the name of the blog, you probably want to put your name as author in the banner, and a tagline describing who the blog is for and what they're going to get out of staying and reading. That's very important. And with a good banner on your blog, it doesn't really matter what the rest of the design is. It's going to look professional.
Can I share a quick tip, Patsy, on where to find
good
people to create a banner? If you don't know of designers, there are several good sites out there where you can just post your project and people will bid on it. And the one that I like to use is called Rent a Coder, RentaCoder.com. There's RentaCoder.com. There's also www.mce.com. And so go to those places, or just go to a blog that you like and ask that blogger who did their header. Ask for
excellent
referrals.
Choice. And let me just say a little bit about personality. Joan, you've done such a great job bringing in dogs and the publicity hound on your sites. And I think that's important, too. Blogs, because they're so heavy in content and they have a lot of text, require a little bit of relief on the eye. And they also are a good way for people to get to know you. So, you know, I use an animated figure on one of my blogs, because it creates a personality other than just my photo. And I think the use of things like that really helps give personality to a blog. So, again, you might want to work with a graphic designer or a branding person to help find that personality and to set that up. But once you've got that determined, it's fairly easy to upload images and keep that consistent on your blog.
Okay.
Yeah, let me give you a list of must-have things on your blog. You know, you can go crazy because there's a lot of widgets and a lot of fancy stuff you can add to your blog, but you want to keep it simple and make it really easy to navigate. Most blogging platforms will allow you to have a navigation bar at the top, but if you don't have it at the top, make sure you make it easy for people to find what they're looking for. And the first thing I tell people to put at the top on the sidebar is an email subscription form, and you can get one from feedburner.com. Feedburner is a fantastic site. It's free. Go there, get a free account, and make sure that your blog is set up with Feedburner.
And could you explain what that does exactly, Patsy? Because this is an important thing that I don't have at my blog yet, I'm embarrassed to say, and I'm going to be installing it this week.
I might want to think about that, because you have a fantastic email newsletter that goes out every Tuesday, I believe, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you have a subscription form for that newsletter, and if I were you, I'd just stick with that, because you don't want to have two email subscription forms on your
blog.
Oh, okay. It confuses people.
Okay.
But most people don't have a newsletter like you do. And if they do, they can create a separate page and talk about the newsletter on that separate page. But you want to still get people to subscribe to your blog, because it's the way that people are going to get daily email deliveries of your content. And because people aren't surfing the web, and they risk not to find your blog again unless they do subscribe. So an email subscription form is very important. Now, all blogging platforms come with what is called an RSS feed. And I'm not going to go into that because it's a little bit techy. But there's two ways to subscribe to a blog, either by RSS feed or by email. And I recommend email because everybody uses it, and not that many people use RSS, but you want to keep that on your blog. But definitely get the email subscription form from Feedburner. It's easy to set up. Non-techie people, I used to call myself a techno-idiot, but I don't think I am anymore. I'm quite capable of doing this myself, so if I can do it, you can do it. The other thing that's essential for a blog is the about page, and most people miss the boat on this. The about page is your bio page, or where it tells about the author of the blog. And most people, or many people, unfortunately, not everybody, but a lot of people just sort of copy and paste their company resume. Written in the third person, it's very boring. This is an opportunity because everyone checks out the about page. They want to know who's writing this blog. Should I believe what they have to say? How do I know they know what they're talking about? So this page is very important. You want to write it in the first person using I, and let people know your true backstory. Let them know why you formed this blog, how come you know what you know, what were the pivotal moments in your career and in your life that made you so passionate about what you do that you cannot not do it. This is where you can really emotionally connect with people. People are curious about the people behind the blog. So if you're not using that page to full advantage, you're missing the boat. Okay, so another thing you want to have is some cornerstone content. This is what other people might call pillar posts or standalone pages. This is free information. I recommend setting it up so that they can download it in exchange for an email address It's a great way to build a marketing database. It's a free special report or a white paper or an ebook, whatever you want to call it, that gives compelling information that people who would come to your blog really need to know. So that's a great way to build your marketing database. I would put that with a graphic image like an ebook cover, and I would put that in one of the side columns. Blogs come in many different shapes and forms, but most have at least one side column for you to put the stuff in. Some have two. That's up to you how you want to set that up. Another page that you absolutely must have if you're in business is a How Can I Help You page. This is how people can hire you or buy your stuff. If you don't have that, you're missing a good opportunity, because sometimes people read the blog, they say, fabulous, this person, I really like what she has to say, I'll subscribe to the blog. But if you're not giving them the possibility to work with you or buy something from you, you're missing that chance. And people are curious. They know you're in business. They know you've got something to sell. So, you know, give them a page where if they're interested, they can go and find out how to work with you. The other thing you want to have is a typical client's page. And on either separately or on this page, you want to have a description of your target audience and a couple of testimonials. What are your clients saying about you? What kind of results do they get when they work with you? So if somebody comes on your blog and they really are seriously looking for that kind of help you can give, you want to make it really easy for them to find out who you work with, how they can work with you, and what kind of results to expect. Other things you might want to have in this sidebar are your affiliate links and banners. And this is really up to you. I don't promote a lot, but there's a couple of things, you know, like Kickstart Cart, the shopping cart system, and Audio Acrobat, the teleseminar system. I promote those on my site. I don't actively promote them, but I have a banner image and an affiliate link on there. Joan, do you do any affiliate links on your blog?
Yes, I do. I do them throughout the blog posts. And I don't want to say I'm pretty liberal about it, but whenever I write a blog post, I always think to myself, am I an affiliate for any products or services that I can promote within this post? That's
yes,
one
sure.
way that you make money from your blog.
Absolutely, absolutely. Another thing I would put in a sidebar is a list of books that I read because I'm an Amazon affiliate. Not that I earn a lot of money from that affiliate account, but listing the books that you read gives your blog personality, and also your readers can identify with the kinds of books you're reading. I think that's a good way for readers to get to know you. And it's also a good way to resonate with you. If they see that you're reading the same kind of books if you see that the blog author's reading the same kind of books that you are, you feel that sense of identity and that affinity. You definitely want to have your other accounts listed. So how can people follow you on Twitter, on Facebook? You know, there are little ways of adding that to your blog, and I'm not going to go into the details, but it's fairly straightforward, fairly user-friendly. Go to any social media site, and there will be applications where you can add an icon to your blog that just by clicking on the icon, it will take them to your Twitter page.
Yikes!
Or your Facebook page.
I don't do that. Well,
that's
one more thing on my to-do list.
Okay. If you go to my blog, writingontheweb.com, you'll see an example of all this in the side columns on my blog.
Cool. And this is a time-saving tip, because if you're sending all these people from your blog over to the social media sites, that's less time that you have to spend going out to finding people to follow you.
That's right. Another thing you also want to have is a retweet this on every post.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that every blog platform is a little bit different. It's a widget that you can install either on Typepad or Facebook or WordPress blog, so that when people read a post they really like, there's a button that says retweet this or tweet this. There's several different systems that you can install, and it's really easy. People just click on it, and they're taken to their Twitter account, and they can retweet about that post, and that's a huge driver of traffic back to your blog. So it's definitely something you want to have set up on your blog design. The other thing is you definitely want to have a site meter that you install, either something like sitemeter.com or Google Analytics or even FeedBurner. FeedBurner offers excellent site analytics. So set that up through FeedBurner, and so you can get a measure of how many people are coming to your blog, where they're coming from, how many pages they stay to visit, how long they're staying. All this is very important for you to know. I would also put a Vizu poll, Vizu.com, and ask a question. If you know that your readers are experiencing certain challenges, ask them to vote what their biggest problem is. And this creates interaction, and it also adds a little eye candy to your blog. And guess what? You can blog about the results on that poll, and it keeps you better informed as to what readers want to know. Another definite way to find out what people are interested in is to get a professional custom design survey. I recently, through Joan, was exposed to Jean Herbert and my surveyexpert.com. You can get a custom design survey and get people to take the survey. It's an excellent way for people to interact with you. Any other things you can think of, Joan?
I have a question. I just got a question from somebody that sort of ties into this. This is from Janet, and Janet says, I see that she has Skype on her site in the networking buttons. Why, and how does she use it?
I don't know that I use it, but it's there so that people can find me on Skype. And it's just one of those widgets where you can add anything you want. You can add YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter.
Okay.
All of that's under the umbrella of social media, and it's a way for people to stay in touch with you.
Oh, terrific. Okay.
Yeah, and it's our next section is outreach. You know, and this is something that if you haven't started a blog, I want to tell you, you can start blogging and participating in the blogosphere before you even have your own blog set up. And the way you do this is to start finding blogs in your field and start reading them and start commenting on them.
This is a real important point. I want everybody to pay attention to this, because this is a critical part of blogging that so many people are missing. And we just got another question, Patsy, that ties into this directly. Somebody asked, how do I get more visitors to my blog, and how do I get people to comment? So continue with what you're saying. This is a way to make both of those things happen. Go ahead, Patsy, continue.
Absolutely. And later on, I was going to cover some traffic driving tips, which is what that question is all about. But definitely outreach is so important. If you're not visiting other people's blogs and commenting on their blogs, why would you expect people to do the same on your blog? You know, it's a two-way street. What goes around comes around. And if you can get known in the key blogs in your field, they'll get curious about your blog, and they'll start visiting. They'll see your comments, and they'll follow the trail and come back to your blog. One of the ways you can find which blogs to start commenting on is through a great site that I love called alltop.com, A-L-L-T-O-P. And you can find all the top blogs on that site. It's a system that aggregates blogs in every niche, every category. And you can find your favorite blogs in any field, but you can also create your favorite blog page on Alltop. So, for example, I have my favorite blogs in content marketing, but I also have them in tennis. I have them in psychology. I have them in publicity. I have a wide variety of interests. So I've created my own Alltop page where I can aggregate all the favorite blogs. And when I go to post a blog, and if I'm sort of lacking any ideas, all I have to do is go to my Alltop page, find out what other people that I like are blogging about, and I'm instantly inspired. So this is a great way. Now, there are other ways to stay in touch and find blogs in your field. There's the biggest blog directory online is Technorati. I'll spell it for you. It's TechNorati.com. I forget, but something like 200 million blogs are indexed on Technorati. Certainly, you can find blogs in your field there. Another way to find them is through Google Alerts and Google Blog Search. there's a million ways to find blogs in your field. And just doing a Google search, a lot of the search results that come up will be blogs, blog posts. So certainly another way is on Twitter. You can, you know, find out on Twitter who's talking about what and do a search on Twitter for keywords or for topics. And a lot of the people who tweet on Twitter are saying things, they're posting a tip, and they're giving little shortened URLs to blog posts. So you can follow those trails and find blogs that are really interesting. When you do find a blog that's interesting and in your field, be sure to subscribe to it so you can stay in touch and get updates.
Another great way, Patsy, is to go onto LinkedIn and ask the question of a particular LinkedIn audience. Let's say I was trying to find the top 10 PR blogs on public relations. I would go to the public relations people and ask them what they think the top blogs are in PR, and then once I know what they are, I'd write a blog post on that. And then I would share that link to my blog post with all those other people on LinkedIn who responded to my question.
And that's an excellent thing to do, because believe me, as soon as you start posting about other people, they're going to find that post because they've got Google Alerts set up, and they're going to find out that you just posted something and included their name. They're going to leave a comment, and they're going to find out you exist.
Guess what else they might do? They might go to their blog and link to your top 10 list that includes their blog in it.
They're very likely to do that.
Which means you get exposure to their audience.
Yeah, that's the way it's called, link love. You know, what goes around comes around. And that's really a good way to build traffic and to get known. What else? Well, certainly you can post your videos on YouTube, which I recommend, and always give your blog URL when you do that, because it's going to drive traffic back to your blog. You know, a lot of people are using Twitter these days because it's really easy, it's fun, it's really a great way to connect with people, and just in a few short words, you can, you know, share a quote or give a tip. But if you're not connecting your blog to your Twitter account and not connecting your Twitter account to your blog, you're missing the boat, because this is the great way. Your blog is where you have all your valuable, relevant content that can go as deep as you want to go. And Twitter is like throwing out breadcrumbs in the forest. You want people to follow the trail back and find out more about you. Same with Facebook. You want to update your status on Facebook, but the whole idea is for them to get to know you and like you and trust you. You can't really do that in Twitter because it's too short. But that's why you've got to be blogging and blogging frequently. And that's where people will land on your blog and go, oh, I hadn't thought of that before. This person really expresses himself well, and they've really understood the real problem. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's terrific. Okay, what about anything else in the outreach category, Patsy, before we get to content?
Well, we'll touch a little bit more on that when we come back to driving traffic to your blog. But I think it's one of the most overlooked categories for effective business blogging. People don't do enough outreach. And it may be because it takes so much time and energy just to get your content up on your own blog. By the time you get that done, you're a little bit tired to go out and find out what other people are saying. But it is extremely important if you want your blog to succeed.
Okay, another reason I think people are not getting traffic or visitors to the blog is because they're not asking themselves certain questions before they sit down to write. And these questions fall into a category you're going to talk about called content. So tell us all about how to create content and things we should think about before we start to write.
Right. Now, Joan and I compiled this humongous list of 101 places to get resources. We started out, Joan said, let's give them a list of 77 ideas for finding fresh content to write about. And I asked Joan, I said, do you think we'll find as many as 77? Well, we ended up with 101.
That was a brain dump.
That will give you a lot of good ideas for inspiration. But let's be smart about it. Let's save some time, too. Because if you're just going off and blogging about this, that, and the other thing, it doesn't make any sense. So I suggest you start with those worksheets that are in the handouts and really think about a couple of things first. List the categories that you're going to be writing about on your blog. Unfortunately, I have listed so many categories on my own blog that it's untenable. There's too many categories. But if I were to start over, I would start with 7 to 9 categories. Because eventually you're going to be adding new categories. Anything more than 15 categories, I think, gives readers too many choices, and, you know, too many choices mean they go away. But you want to focus on the key things that you're an expert on. And again, you go back to that problem solution question. What problem do I solve for the people that I can help? And this also ties into your keywords. You know, anybody who's doing anything online knows how important keywords are. Keywords are what people ask Google or Yahoo when they do a search. So how would people be searching for you? Let's say your ideal client had exactly the kind of problem you could solve. What would they type in a search engine? So remember, those keywords are very important. They want to identify them for your blog and remember to use them. And it's very easy to forget. Strangely enough, it's easy to forget keywords sometimes. But remember to put them in your headline, in the first paragraph of your blog post, and a couple of times in the rest of the body. It should come naturally, but sometimes you need to remind yourself. That's why it's good to keep a list of keywords. And it's good to identify certain keyword phrases that you want to rank very high for in searches. For example, I've identified content marketing and content marketing with blogs as search terms that I want to rank high for. So I use those a lot. And sometimes I've written a post and those words don't even come into it and I go, duh, let's stick it in the headline, let's stick it in the body of the post, because what I'm talking about really has everything to do with content marketing for blogs or with blogs. So don't forget that. Write about the problem, the pain you solve, and use stories. People resonate with stories. So every time you talk about something, think of a client or yourself and make that story come alive with real live examples. The other thing you want to be talking about are peripheral needs of your readers. This might go outside of your categories, but for example, if you write a blog for speakers, maybe they need things like voice recorders. So you want to be as helpful to your readers as you can be, even if it means talking about things you're not an expert in, but you know that your readers can really benefit from this item. So you want to be a go-to resource for your readers. So the other thing is that I have sort of a good formula for writing, and some of it is in the handouts, but it basically starts with finding a problem you want to write about and then asking your readers the question, what are you doing about XYZ, for example? That's a great way to start a blog post, because right away you're engaging your reader to think, what am I doing about blah, blah, blah?
It's a great idea.
Yeah, start with a question for your reader. End your post with a question to your reader, because remember, you want them to take an action.
Mm-hmm.
So start your post with a problem and a question, and then give them 3 to 5 bullet points. This can either be 3 ways the problem manifests itself or 3 solutions to the problem. It doesn't matter which your blog post is going to focus on, but I'm just talking about here a way to structure your blog writing so that it goes quickly. And I'm a firm believer in the grocery list method of writing. Write a question, write 3 bullet points or 5, and then write a couple of sentences to explain what you mean. Then wrap it up and always end your post with a question. Ask your reader to leave a comment. I think a lot of times readers don't leave comments because they don't think to. You aren't asking them a compelling question that gets them to respond. And if you're not asking them, they're going to go away. They're going to go on to the next thing without commenting. It's true that not very many people go onto a blog and comment. I think the statistics are only 1 to 2% of readers are commenters. So it's So you have to have a lot of traffic before you start getting comments. But there's a lot you can do to encourage them, too.
One of the things I did, Patsy, because I started this a couple of months ago, at the end of a lot of my blog posts, I'll write things like, what do you think? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Or let's see if we can, I've given you 5 tips. Let's see how long a list we can compile. Feel free to add to the list. Things like that to let people know that I want them to engage in the conversation.
Yeah, but one time I wrote 10 ways to do such and such, and I only came up with 9. So I said, number 10 is for you guys. You tell me what's the 10th good tip.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, but if you're not encouraging people, and the other thing you do is when they comment, respond to them. Either I used to respond in a private email. Thanks for stopping by. I like what you had to say. Keep it up. Keep coming back. I don't do that so much anymore, but I will respond in a public comment on the blog post.
Oh, can I give you another tip on that I just noticed?
Yeah.
There's a little thing on WordPress. I have a WordPress blog, and I added a little thing to it. I don't know if it's a widget or what it is. My web guy did it that automatically lets me comment to a comment that they left, and it shows up right under their comment. Here's what I discovered. I started doing that for almost every single person who comments at my blog. What that means is when you go to a blog post where I have 6 people who have left comments and I have responded to all 6 of those people, it shows up as 12 comments.
Sure does. It's very important. But, you know, you have great participation on your blog, and one of the things that you do right, Joan, is that you're talking about your readers. They're giving you examples and problems and things like that, and you're featuring them in blog posts. Well, wouldn't that encourage you to leave a comment if it's going to get picked up by the author and maybe featured in a blog post?
Yeah.
So, you know, be sure you're doing this. I think a lot of people don't get enough comments because they're not getting enough traffic, and they're not getting enough traffic because they're not posting often enough.
And another great way to get comments is write about controversial stuff. You know, take a strong position on on the most controversial topic in your industry. That's a terrific way to get comments.
Absolutely. I think people don't go out on a limb enough, and they don't stir up the pot enough. Now, it's obvious, you know, it's like the newspaper headlines that get the most attention are the ones that are negative, right? Well, none of us really want to go online and be negative. However, you can certainly report out on other people that are being negative. If you're being too nicey-nice in your content, you're not going to get the attention you deserve. If you don't get the attention, you're not going to get the readers. So you've got to be provocative. Let me just throw in a few tips about formatting, because I think it's important. Be careful on your blog. Leave lots of white space, and this means breaking up your paragraphs after 1 or 2 sentences. First of all, you want to have your sentences a little shorter than normal. You want to talk in a conversational tone, not academic. But make your paragraphs short so there's more white space on the page. It makes it easier to read. Now, I don't have too much to say about the length of your blog post. 400, 600 words, less, longer, it doesn't really matter. But break it up to the extended post feature. If it gets too long, you don't want it scrolling down the page forever. And most blog platforms will let you create a link where it says read more so that you just get the first paragraph on the homepage of the blog. But you want to get to the point, you know, ask those questions, give lots of bulleted lists or numbered lists, short paragraphs. Start and end with a question. Ask for comments. Use images. It breaks up the monotony of text. I use iStockPhoto.com. Shutterstock is another. But the images sometimes can really compel people to read your post. And use an exciting headline. I always write the headline last because I'm not always sure what I'm going to say when I start out writing. But you want to make it curious and compelling. Joan does a good job of this. 5 forgotten tips, 2. How to save time when you haven't got any. 8.5 reasons, 4. And, you know, make it interesting so people want to read your post. Anything to add on that, Joan?
I don't think so. I think you're doing a terrific job. Keep going.
Okay, let's go on to action, because remember we talked about design, outreach, content, and action. And
oh,
action,
the calls to action. This is on my New Year's resolution list. This is one way that I'm really going to improve my blog, is by including calls to action in every blog post. So tell us what a call to action is and why it's important.
Well, the term normally is used in sales talk to get people to buy, but in a blog, it's a little bit different because the action can be subtle. You can get them just to think about something, but at least you're getting them to think about it, right? You don't want to just simply deliver information. You want to tell a story and move them emotionally. So then, once you've got them involved and engaged, you want to ask them to do something. Now, one of the best things I think to do is build your marketing database by asking them to download a file or an ebook. But you can also use a survey or a quiz or a poll. This has double payoffs because you get to know what they're thinking, and it builds information for your blog post. You want them to leave a comment. You want them to subscribe to the blog. I wouldn't ask them to do too many things in one blog post, but certainly always ask them to do one thing at the end of the blog post. You don't always want to ask them to leave a comment, but ask them a question. You can easily say something like this. If you like this blog post and you feel that it's interesting enough to want to know more, I suggest you subscribe. You can get email updates in the subscription form in the upper right-hand corner. You know, if you don't spell it out to people, they won't think to do it. So the other thing is, when you've got these calls to action, you want to evoke a little emotionality and use your psychology. Everybody knows a little bit enough about psychology to realize that nobody's going to take action unless you make them want to. So know a little bit about psychological hot buttons. You know, everybody wants to have power, prestige, money, relationships. They want to be first on their blog to know about something. They want to achieve goals. They want to acquire things. You know, we all have these human drives. There's nothing wrong with them. You need to tap into them and to honor them. And certainly the way you tell stories, the way you share things about yourself, even one of the most powerful things you can do on your blog is to share a mistake you've made and then show what sort of lesson you learned from it. It really establishes you not only as an expert and credible in your field, but also as a human being who is capable of making goofs and learning from them. And you set the example for other people. It builds trust, it builds credibility, and it really does allow people to want to trust you and to go along with you on whatever it is you're trying to get them to come along with. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, there are so many other challenges to blog writing. People can't get that creativity spark going. Talk to us about some of the challenges that most bloggers face, and then give us some tips and solutions on how we can get inspired.
Absolutely. On my blog, writingontheweb.com, I have a poll that's been there. Oh, it's longer than I've ever left a poll up, and it's about the biggest challenges people have with blogging. And the number one challenge that I hear about is there's never enough time to write on their blog. And when I talk with clients, this is a big problem, and I know that from my own experiences, but it's never really lack of time, it's lack of inspiration. And the lack of inspiration comes from not really being sure about what you want to write about, or you're not sure you're doing it right, or you're not sure you're doing it well. It's really a lack of confidence that blogging is going to be worth it. So in other words, it's those two bugaboos, fear and doubt. And without going into those issues too much, the only way it's going to go away is just to do it. Like Nike says, just do it. It helps if you know what you're doing. But even not knowing what you're doing, just have faith that doing it is going to turn out all right. When I started out 5 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't have a system. Now, it takes a while to get results from your blogging efforts. But once in a while, a reader's going to contact you, or they're going to email you, or they're going to leave a comment that's going to make it all worthwhile, and all of your doubt will go away. Never forget that even though people aren't commenting or aren't telling you, somebody out there needs you, and they need the solutions that you're giving away to them for free. Nobody starts out writing well. Everybody has got a piece of genius within them. It's just a question of finding it and putting it on the screen, on the computer screen. But it won't happen if you don't do it. So there's two ways to go about starting a blog post, even when you don't know what you're doing. There's two ways. One, go inside. Two, go outside. Now, I think the easiest or the easier way is to go outside. Find a blog post you like or dislike and write about it. Use it as a jumping off point. So you start by asking your readers a question about this, end by asking them a question or asking them to comment. You link to the source of your inspiration, whether it's a post you don't like or a post you do like. You find a photo, either of that person, their book, or of the subject matter. You put the photo on the blog post. You write your perspective and your opinion. Save it as a draft, and then come back later and reread it. Maybe an hour later, maybe 24 hours later, it doesn't matter. Reread your blog post. Make it better. Take out all the extra words, correct the grammar and the spelling and all that, and then publish it. Even if you think it's just so-so, it's okay. You won't get better until you do this over and over. So that's how you do it, by going outside of yourself. And when you do that, you're bypassing fear and doubt, because it's not about you. You're writing about what somebody else wrote, somebody else's post, whatever it is. It's not about you. Okay, go inside. That's the second way. It's a little bit harder, but sometimes it's worth it. You sit down and you ask yourself, okay, I've got this blog. What am I going to write about? What really matters? What do my readers struggle with? What have I struggled with? What have I learned? What kind of tip can I share? It's really going to make my readers' lives better. Okay, what's going well? What's not right? What's wrong? Okay, immediately you can think of something to write about. And then think about how come the situation continues when there are solutions. How come the solutions aren't working? What pivotal things happened to you that made things different for you, which makes you unique and makes you a real expert in your field? And again, I mentioned this before, what huge mistake have you made that almost caused you to miss the boat entirely and that taught you a big lesson? So these are two ways of finding inspiration and bypassing fear and doubt. When you tap into your passion, to the real reason to writing a blog in the first place, the real reason why you're in business for your first in the first place, when you tap into that passion, you immediately bite fear and doubt. And you tap into the energy that's within you. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And a lot of the things that you're talking about, some of the things here are on our sheet of 101 ways to find content. And there are many more there. And some of them are really quirky and fun. So we would encourage you to go onto that handout. And again, not all 101 ideas that Patsy and I came up with are going to work for everybody. But I'll bet you that everybody here can go on there and find at least 25 or 35 terrific things to blog about that fit in perfectly with your area of expertise.
Absolutely.
Time to, Patsy, talk about some time-sucking traps. And I believe that you have another handout that will help with that.
Absolutely, because I believe in repurposing everything. And I've been blogging long enough now so that if I ever get stuck, I just go into my archives and I find something and I can update it and recycle it. I'm a firm believer in that. And a lot of people fear the duplicate copy or duplicate content bugaboo. And I say, to hell with that. Don't worry about it. You know, some people fall upon your blog for the first time. They've never read anything you've ever written ever. I'm not suggesting you copy and paste everything word for word. I'm suggesting you take old ideas, recycle them, and put a new spin on them. This can clearly be a time saver. You know, unless you're verbose, which that's one of my big errors, I can get bogged down and start writing my memoirs when I really shouldn't be spending time that way. Ask what's in it for your readers. Continually and consistently keep the focus on providing relevant stories that your readers can use for their benefit. So that'll help you from getting bogged down in writing too much personal history and personal content. Mm-hmm.
That's probably my biggest downfall at my blog. When I come up with a good idea, sometimes it can be just a tiny little idea. I'm not satisfied with three paragraphs. I have to write the novel on everything you always wanted to know about X, Y, and Z, and that just turns into a time suck trap.
Yeah, and sometimes you need to do that, Joan, but that's why I say save it as a draft and come back later, because you'll cut out 50% of it, and you'll make it so much better. So I always have one blog post draft saved on sort of on the back burner, and I leave it there for 24 hours and come back. I always have one simmering. So, you know, and when I started out, I didn't think I had anything to say. So I was getting all of my content off of other people's blogs. I would write about what they were, maybe I'd add some of my perspective, but it was really 75% of stuff other people were saying and only 25% of my own stuff. Now it's the other way around because I've accumulated a body of knowledge and I'm more confident that I do know this stuff. And I can put a spin on it that's my own. It's unique. So time-saving traps is just set yourself a time limit. For me, it's 20 minutes. But some blog posts take longer, and sometimes I'll spend an hour. But I only do that when I have the luxury of spending an hour. But when I talk about posting in 20 minutes or 30 minutes a day, I'll write it in 15. I'll spend a few minutes with a headline. I'll put an image on it. I'll go find one over on iStockPhoto.com. I will go back into the blog post and link all of the names, all of the books to relevant sources, and then I'll leave it as a draft, come back 24 hours later and publish it. So you really can do this in a half an hour. If you're not sure of what you're writing and you have to do a lot of research, it might take you an hour. But set yourself a limit, you know. And that's the only way that you're going to get better. Use a timer if you have to. But don't let yourself just spend 2 hours coming up with a blog post, unless you're really doing some valuable research and you're getting something out of it.
Okay, two tips that I want to add. Cassie, you and I talked about this, and I wrote about this in my newsletter. Voice recognition software. There's a software program out there. Patsy, have you heard of it? I think it's called Dragon.
Yes, I have heard of it. I haven't used it, though.
There's one called Dragon, and there's another one called Quillsoft, Quillsoft. As a matter of fact, the makers of Quillsoft set up Google Alerts, apparently, for the keyword phrase voice recognition software. They found my newsletter in the archives online, and they emailed me and offered me a free copy of their voice recognition software to test and blog about. Now, that's an example of a smart company, and I didn't have time to do it in time for this teleseminar, but I'm definitely going to test it and then write about it. So voice recognition software is a great way for you to blog. You know, you can talk into your microphone right in front of your computer, and this is great for people who struggle with writing. Also, Patsy, you and I talked about the Copy Blogger site, which is a terrific place where people can get writing tips specifically for blogging. Do you want to talk about Copy Blogger?
Yeah, I'll just mention it. If you're not familiar with it, it's copyblogger.com. And the reason it is so important is that before Brian Clark started blogging, there were lots of sites about copywriting and sales pages and how to write copy that's designed to sell on the web. And there were lots of sites about blogging, but nobody had connected the two. And as it turns out, the whole copy blogger site introduced a new concept, and it ended up being called content marketing, actually, although Brian Clark didn't realize it at the time. What he was showing people is that when you write on a blog, it should be designed to connect with people, build your credibility, establish trust, and call to action, get action. So it's not entirely sales copy per se, but you're using a lot of the tactics and tools from sales copywriting. So if you're not familiar with what those are, it's a good idea to take a course in copywriting or study a lot of the free stuff online. And it's just a different way of writing. I came from a journalism background and a psychology background. Well, as it turns out, that's perfect for sales writing or copy blogging or content marketing, but I didn't know it at the time. So you do have to learn how to connect with your readers. And it doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen if you're not blogging. You need to be blogging a minimum 3 times a week for you to get the benefits from the search engines and for people to find you. For example, Joan blogs about things, and companies find her and give her free products. That's a perfect example of why you should be blogging.
Okay, we've got about 10 minutes, and I have gone through, I believe, all the questions that were submitted. If you have any questions that you'd like answered, please email them to jstewart@publicityhound.com. And while you're doing that, Patsy's going to talk about how to drive traffic to your blog.
Just one other question that I got, Jonah, and I want to answer it. Someone asked me about a blog that has guest bloggers and how she could get other people to contribute as guest bloggers on a blog. Obviously, the more you write on a blog, and that ties into our next topic, the more traffic you're going to get. But it takes time, and if you don't have a lot of time for writing on your blog, you want to recruit guest bloggers. And there's several examples online of group blogs where they have 5 or 3 people running the show, and I definitely recommend that. Anyone can do that. It's real easy to set up and invite a guest writer on your blog. So the thing is, if you're not writing enough on your blog, you're not going to get the people that you need to reach. They're not going to find you. The best way to increase traffic to your blog, and you won't believe this, is to write more frequently. I have tested this on my own blog. I know other people have too. If you double the number of posts per week that you're writing, if you're posting twice a week on your blog and you decide to start posting 4 times a week, you will see your traffic double.
Yeah, see, there's
I don't know why that is.
There's a site that I wrote about in my newsletter a couple months ago that a couple people have just raved about. It's a place where you can offer yourself as a guest blogger to other blogs, and you can also find guest bloggers for your own blog, and it's called Blogger Link Up, BloggerLinkUp, BloggerLinkUp.com. Plug in your email address, your first and last name, join the site. This is also a place I just found out today when I was looking around that if you have a free product, like an ebook or something that you want to offer to other bloggers for them to review, you can offer it right at this site. And I have my free ebook on the Best of the Publicity Hounds Tips of the Week of 2009. I'm going to go over here tomorrow and offer that book to any bloggers who want to write about how people can get free publicity.
That's excellent. I know the site and the service, I think they're excellent, but I didn't know that they were offering reviews of information products. That's great.
Yeah, well, they let you offer your product to other bloggers who want to write about it. It's like a little marketplace where you can go on there and find all these bloggers who are interested in your product and then give it to them and then wait for the reviews to come pouring in and hopefully the sales.
Fabulous, fabulous. So, you know, whatever you're doing on your blog, I suggest you do more of it. Now, granted, some of the increase in traffic will come from the same people because they're subscribed to your blog. But the more people subscribe and read your blog, the more they're going to share it. They're going to retweet it. The more, you know, what goes around comes around. People are going to hear about it. They're going to find you. They cannot find you if you're not posting on your blog. Nothing makes me sadder than to go to somebody's blog because they've got a link on their website that says blog. I click on it, and they haven't written in a year. Well, I know people are busy, and I know there's reason, but I think it's sad because when I go to someone's blog, I want to find out what's going on with them.
You know what the biggest reason is I hear, Patsy, why people don't blog?
Mm.
I don't blog because I started, and I did it for 2 weeks, but I wasn't getting any traffic. Well, that's like going to the gym on Monday, hoping to lose 20 pounds, and then dropping out of the gym on Friday because you haven't lost the weight.
Yeah, and that's why I've tried to simplify it. There's a lot that goes into blogging, but if you chunk it down into those four areas and you have a system for writing 3 to 5 bullet points and you know where you can go to get inspiration, it's not that bad. And I recommend acquiring a daily blogging habit. 20 minutes a day, you get up early in the morning or you do it late at night before you go to bed. Do something on your blog, 20 minutes, whatever it is. And if you can acquire that habit, you will get results. And it won't happen next week, or it may. But, you know, months down the road, you will have built a substantial body of content that will look really, really good when somebody's looking for who to hire and you've got all that stuff on your blog. Who are they going to choose? They're going to choose the person that looks and has the most credibility.
Everybody wants to hit a home run. I think the best way to win the game is to hit a lot of singles to first base.
Yep. I'm with you there. As far as driving traffic and getting to first and second and third base, you know, all of the things we've talked about up until now really count. You know, showing link love, writing about other people, linking to other people, going over and retweeting your blog posts, getting your blog posts fed into Twitter. Let me just say a couple of things about that. You can have your blog posts automatically fed into Twitter by going to twitterfeed.com. And that is pretty user-friendly. I won't say anything more about it. You can do the same thing on LinkedIn. You go to the navigation bar on the top of LinkedIn where it says More, M-O-R-E. There's a drop-down menu that says Application Directory. Click it, and then look for the application that says Blog Link. Not only can you feed your WordPress and your TypePad blogs into LinkedIn, but you can also access the blogs of your LinkedIn connections through that little widget application. So it goes both ways. You can find out what
they're
connecting. Yes, it's great. So you can find out what your other people are blogging about.
And you can also have your blog posts fed into your Facebook status as well.
And that was the next thing I was going to say, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to give you specific directions on how to do that, but go to settings and click around. It's user-friendly, and once you've got those set up, and I didn't mention all the other social media sites. There are a ton of them. So whatever sites you're using, there's going to be a feature there somewhere. They're going to let you set it up so that your blog automatically feeds into your status updates, your tweets, your friends, whatever system you're on. So you want to make sure that happens automatically. But also a good way to use Twitter to drive traffic to your blog is by posting or tweeting a couple of tips from a blog post. And I get tremendous traffic from all three sites over on my blog. I didn't used to do that. You know, it's funny because I can just finish posting something, and a half hour later, I got a comment from somebody. I'm thinking, how did they find it so quickly? Well, they found it through Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And the people on Twitter are used to putting their 2 cents worth in, right? So these are the people that are frequent commenters. They speak up more than just bloggers or people
yeah.
that lurk.
Patsy, before we close, can you talk about blogging directories? Because I get that question often. Are there maybe one or two blogging directories where people absolutely must have their blog registered?
Right. Well, there are so many. There's like over 200 blog directories. And I recommend that anybody starting out blogging, and once you've got your blog set up and you've got several posts and, you know, it's not just brand new and empty, find out the blog directories in your niche. And to do that, you might have to do a Google search, or you can go to toprankblog.com and search on that site. They've got a list of all the RSS blog directories.
Can you spell that?
Find the one.
Can you spell that
yes.
for us?
Top Rank Blog is TopRankBlog.com
mm-hmm.
/RSS-blog-directories/. Okay, and that's Lee Oden's blog site. There are other blog directory sites if you Google that. The reason this is important is because it's a fast way to get indexed by the search engines, and it's just covering your bases. It's very important because each of those blog directories are going to have you listed on their sites. These are links back to your blog. In the search engine algorithms, this counts and gives your blog rank or authority. So I happen to offer a blog directory submission service because it's very time-consuming to submit your blog to directories. You don't want to waste your time doing it, especially with over 200 directories. So if you're interested in doing that, I charge $125 for it, and I have somebody do it for you manually. It takes about 10 to 12 hours to do it, but it's well worth it.
Okay. I don't have any more questions in my email box. Is there anything, any parting thoughts, Patsy, before we close?
Well, tell you what, this all ties together. The blog is sort of like the hub where you want to draw people back to. Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that are great social media sites, but they don't operate in isolation, and your blog doesn't either. YouTube is great. You know, it's a great way to post a short video, and then you can embed it on your blog. It's a way for people to get really a taste of who you are because they can see you and hear you. All of these things, they work together. They don't work in isolation. So there's a lot to know, but the thing to remember is don't get overwhelmed. Start with a blog, set it up, designed for trust and branding. Do some outreach, find blogs in your niche and start commenting on them. Blog frequently, write simple solutions to problems your readers have, and always ask them to do something. If you get bogged down, get some help. There's so many freelancers out there who, for next to nothing, can really help you make a difference. Get a VA who can help with the tech aspects of your blog. There's help available. All you have to do is ask. If you have questions, shoot me an email, pcrakoff@gmail.com, or Joan, you've offered your email address.
Right.
I have a new ebook which hasn't even been launched yet, but it is available to the people on this call. If they go to contentmarketingprofits.com, you can register for it. You'll get lots of tips on how to make your content work for getting sales.
And how much is it, Patsy?
Oh, that's free. That's a freebie.
Oh, it's free. That's wonderful. Can you give us the URL again?
ContentMarketingProfits.com. Of course, you know, it's free. I use that in quotes because I'm going to upsell you to the for free ebook at the end. At the very last chapter, I'm going to give you a survey to take. And if you don't pass the survey, I'm going to tell you, you need to buy my ebook.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think downloading this book is a good lesson for people on the line who want to do more content marketing and internet marketing. Watch how Patsy does the upsell when you're on this site and you download the ebook. Watch how she tries to get you to buy something and then use that same technique on your own site. Patsy, tell us how else you can help us and where we can find you.
Well, obviously the place to start for me is my blog because that's where you really get to know what I've got. There are pages on there that you can find to know how to hire me, buy me, rent me.
And what is your blog URL again?
writingontheweb.com.
Okay.
I offer special writing services for anyone who's an executive coach or a consultant. Some of your readers may be executive coaches and consultants. They can visit me at contentforcoachesandconsultants.com. And that's about it, you know. Google my name, Patsy Krakoff, PatsiKrakoff, and you'll find me.
Okay, and I am at publicityhound.com. There's a link to my blog at publicityhound.net, and I also hope you'll visit my new blog at mysocialmediasolution.com, which I created with my new partner, Jeannie Hurlburt. So, Patsy, again, thank you very much for this hour. I have a whole long to-do list, and guess what I'm going to do when I get off this call?
What?
I'm going to blog about the thing, about a couple of things that I'm going to do at my blog, and then I am going to link to the page where people can buy the recording. Or the transcript. I'm not going to give away all the tips because there were people who paid to get on this call, but I'm going to throw out a couple of the things that I'm going to do as an enticement. And this is another way of repurposing content.
And I think you're an excellent example for the call to action, because your newsletter is always giving valuable information and cool tips, and you drop in a line, you know, if you want to know more, you really ought to have this ebook.
Yeah, that's called up the upsell. Okay, Patsy, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for participating. And as Patsy is fond of saying, blog on. So take care, everybody, and we hope you join us for our next teleseminar. Take care, everybody. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.